Thanks. Let's give Mike a hand. You didn't know that this service was going to be PG-13, did you? When you kind of adults only thing. Hey, we're going to take up offering here in a moment. I think I told you last week that I got to spend a week in the Andes Mountains in Ecuador this week and going from village to village, seeing what is happening in South America, and it's really exciting. I hope I get a chance to talk to you about that at some point. But I just want to say this as we're going to take up offering, that you know, you're really doing it, Southbrook. You're making a difference. I got to see kids who are being sponsored, and Edwin and Elisa Livese and some other folks, I took some gifts down to their kids that they're sponsoring, and it's just really cool to see an impact being felt another continent away, and God's doing stuff. I've never, in 51 years of being alive, I've never felt hope for this world like I did seeing what is happening in Ecuador. And then while I was there, hearing about what's happening in North Korea. And it's just really exciting. And I want to say to you that those of you who've put your lives into play, either by just contributing financially and or with your talents and abilities, it's just making a big impact. And we just want to say thank you and keep doing it in Jesus' name, okay? Keep doing it in Jesus' name. You know, this is, it is such a disillusioning time we're living in, isn't it? On so many fronts. I read a guy who said that, 10 years ago we had Bob Hope, Johnny Cash, and Steve Jobs, and today we have no jobs, no cash, and no hope, you know? The world has really changed. But it's just so disillusioning, you know, what's going on to people. Many of you know that, you know, I follow sports, and so for years I followed Lance Armstrong through his cancer battle and then through winning 7 Tour de France's. But if you haven't heard, last week he was stripped of those titles. And for years I thought, oh, the evidence is too high for him to claim that he was clean. I mean, just if you stay up with it, it was like something doesn't connect here. And sure enough, I mean, it's just a mountain of evidence that says he's lied. He's lying. And I saw a tweet from a guy this week that said, for Halloween, Lance Armstrong ought to dress as a 7-time Tour de France champion. Wow. Wow. I mean, this is an age of disillusionment, isn't it? Years ago, there was a song by Dennis DeYoung and the group Styx, and some of you will remember these words. Every night, I say a prayer in the hope that there's a heaven. And every day I'm more confused as the saints turn into sinners. All the heroes and legends I knew as a child have fallen to idols of clay. And I feel this empty place inside, so afraid that I've lost my faith. And as I slowly drift to sleep, for a moment dreams are sacred. I close my eyes and know there's peace in a world so filled with hatred. That I wake up each morning and turn on the news to find we've so far to go. And I keep on hoping for a sign, so afraid that I just won't know. Show me the way. Show me the way. Take me tonight to the river and wash my illusions away. Show me the way. Show me the way. Give me the strength and the courage to believe that I'll get there someday. Please show me the way. And I was just in one pocket of the world this week where I got to see community after community that we've seen in Poland and Jamaica and Swaziland and Mexico, of a world saying, church, show us the way. Show us the way. Take us to the river. And interesting that one of the churches we were at this week, just last month, had 48 baptisms in the Pacific Ocean in an area that is totally, totally unchurched. Totally unchurched. Of people saying, wash my illusions away. And that's what this series has been about. You have one life. That's it. You get one chance to make your life count. That's it. And you better make it count. And so what we've done with this series is said, okay, a few things we're going to help you with. One is, look at Ephesians 4:11, as we've used that, is to see that you have a calling in one of these five areas, at least. We're called to mature in all five of these areas of ministry, but in one of these five areas, you have, with your abilities, you're gonna find a calling. And so we've seen that, you know, Jesus designed his church very, very logically. He defined his church by saying, I'm going to raise up catalyzers, apostles who lead the way. We've talked about that. And I'm going to raise up reformers who tell culture to turn around. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise up prophet reformers who tell culture to turn around. And we've looked at the fact that he said that I'm going to also call out evangelists who speak into people's lives. That's a megaphone. Who speak into people's lives and recruit them to the truth. And we've also seen how we have people in our midst who are called to create circles of care and mentoring. That's what a pastor does. It's not an office you go to seminary for. It's a calling. Some of you are shaped in this way. And what did I say my prayer was last week? That I'm still praying, by the way? May you be miserable until you answer the call of being a mentor, a pastor. But tonight we're going to look at how teachers also are the other end of this, in that they show the way. They break the complicated down into simple parts. That's what teachers do, and show the way. And that there is an ability in Scripture that's related to it that is on a more personal level, and that is the counselor ability. And that's what we're going to look at tonight as we take this whole series now and we say, okay, church, you've heard the word on this. Now it's time to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And if you have blood coursing through your veins, then God is not finished with you. He wants you to put your life into play. And we've talked about the fact that there are really two circles of putting your life into play. I began the series with this thought, that there is the Southbrook circle, that within the church, we have X amount of positions that have to be filled for us to operate as the body, the hands and the feet and the ears and the eyes of Christ. That's so that we can then equip our church to go out into kingdom ministry. And that's where we establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. So you may not, we hope that some of you who need to answer this call do so, but we're not limited to that. We're saying, as we saw in the video tonight, we're saying, listen, Jesus wants to maybe do something outside these walls as you go into the world. I was just talking with some of the folks who are in our Cancer Hope ministry, and they knit and they sew to be the hands and feet of Jesus to people who have cancer. You know, so that gets into Southbrook ministry, but it also, that is invading the kingdom of darkness that is about cancer and such, and saying we're going to bring the hands and feet of Jesus into that. And so part of the reason we call this play is because it's about your personality, learnings, abilities, and yearnings. But it's also about the fact that when you discover what God's call is in your life, it feels like you're playing. Because now you're knitting for Jesus. You're literally being his hands and feet to hurting people who need the hope of Christ. I mean, what is there not to like about this deal? And so let me just walk you through the last two gifts. This Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm going to teach more on this. And then we're going to close out this series with a real challenge to you. I feel sorry for those. I feel so sorry for those of you who just fill brown seats. I mean, if you are in the middle, you see? You know what the middle is? It's the guy who's bored at a Bible study and guilty at a bar. That guy's in the middle. And when you're just in the brown seats, you're sort of in the middle because you're hearing, but you're not doing. And oh, that's like misery. It's miserable to be there. So this is a place where we get called out of those seats. And one of the things that we use to show the way as we grow up our church and build our church is this calling of God. It says, look again, Ephesians 4:11. Look at this screen. It says, he called some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and then some teachers. Teachers. Now look at this definition of how teachers put their lives into play. And I am amazed at how many people, by the way, I meant to do this, okay? Let me show you this. If you have not done it yet, then go to fivefoldsurvey.com and do that survey. You can do it right now if you have your phone. You can do it right now through our internet connection and do that survey. You'll get immediate feedback. And God raised up teachers to do this. Look at the ability that teachers have. They play through clear and practical scriptural instruction that is relevant and empowers people to live like Jesus. Now, this is, again, like pastor, like evangelist, like prophet, and apostle. We have been framed to think, you got to go to seminary. These are offices. They are not offices. They are callings. They are roles. And we're all to find one of those that we flesh ourselves out through. And I am amazed. I am a part of a group that meets on Friday mornings. And I was stunned as our group of 12, 14 guys, we went through this. How many of them have this calling of teacher because of the way God wired them? Now, they may not stand in front of 1,000 people and teach, but they are equipped to put their lives into play by breaking the complex down into the simple, because ultimately, that's what teachers do. Teachers ultimately have the ability to take the complex, and life gets complex, and intersect that with the Word of God and say, here's what God has for your life. Here's the way that He wants you to live. And I've said that if you have 5 of these 10 listed here, then you probably have this calling as well. So here's an additional survey you can take. It's in the Player Profiles curriculum. It's on the website you're going to see later. And you can just take a look at this. Look at these 10 characteristics. When I read Scripture, important truths emerge that clearly apply to life today. I can easily be frustrated when I see people living without scriptural knowledge. I'm burdened by biblical insights, and I'm not able to share as much as I take in. I love learning, studying, and sharing what I've learned with others. I could read and study the Sermon on the Mount, for example, for the rest of my life. I naturally speak of Scripture in a way that causes people to say, I've never thought of it that way. I could talk about the Bible forever and never get tired of it. I can imaginatively present biblical concepts to others in ways they can grasp and understand. People are motivated to grow when I teach Scripture or talk it. I can communicate Scripture in ways that cause others to learn and apply it. And if those apply to you, 5 of those, then you need to perk up your ears and listen for how God can use you to teach some kids, to teach some friends. And I've got some friends who, before they were equipped with Scripture, they had the ability to communicate through word pictures and metaphors and simile. That's what teachers do. And now Scripture has been brought into their lives. And now they're doing that in a creative way with Scripture. And they teach when they talk. Some of them are in recovery. And they just, you know, and I've said to them, do you realize that you have the gift of teaching? You realize that when you talk and you use these metaphors, I know I sit there and go, gosh, I've never thought about that before. That's the ability to teach. And how the world needs you, your office, your school, your community, to learn to use that gift. Learn it to use it in coffee shops and living rooms all over the place to lead others. And with that one comes this other ability that's listed in Scripture. We're going to look at Solomon and how he epitomized the counselor ability. And that's the ability that plays by giving godly advice and counseling people to help them make wise decisions that reflect the will and the heart of God. Because life gets complicated sometimes, but also life sometimes isn't all black and white. As a matter of fact, I think most of life is not black and white. Most of life is real fuzzy, and it's in gray areas, and it's decisions that have to do with better or best. And that's when we need someone who has this gift of counseling. Many of you have been impacted by people like Randy Creamer in our church who have this gift to lead people. The Bible says the heart of a man or woman is a deep well, but a person of wisdom draws it out. And this counselor ability has that gift of just drawing out the human heart to show the way. Look at some of these characteristics. There are people in my life that I'm personally guiding with encouragement, caring, and wisdom. I'm able to strengthen, encourage, and comfort God's people through biblical truth communicated in a culturally relevant manner. I identify with stories like Solomon deciding which of the two mothers are really the mother of the child. Do you remember that story? We're going to look at it this week. I'm able to give practical advice to help others when a complex situation arises and God reveals a biblically based solution to me. I feel a burden to be a steward wisely of the truth and understanding I have been given. I am not impulsive with my observations about life and people and pray frequently for wisdom from above. Others have affirmed my insights and perceptions into their lives. I'm able to give practical advice to help others through difficult and complicated situations. I like reading the book of Proverbs for its simplicity and practicality. I frequently have people come to me for advice and wisdom. I mean, those reflect this amazingly critical gift in an era of disillusionment, in a world that's crying out, show me the way, God has raised up some of you to surrender your lives to His wisdom so that you can be a guide to others who've lost their way. Now, as we look at this fivefold ministry, catalyzer ministry, where the church is moving forward into new areas and markets and worlds, and reformer, prophetic ministry that creates cultures that are repenting and turning to God, and recruitment ministry where we call children and teens and folks to the Christ team, and pastoral mentoring ministry where we create circles of growth, and then teaching ministry where we take the complex and break it down and say, here's the way. I mean, what church is going to be held up in being the hands and feet of Jesus that are doing those five things? And what I see before me right now is incredible potential. Incredible potential. And I'm going to call you right now to do four things. And even if you've got your ministry right now, I would say do this on a periodic basis. So if you don't do it with us right now, that you do it at some point this year, where every year you look at your life. I know I do. My mission in life is to go to heaven when I die, take as many people with me, and while I'm on earth, bring heaven to as many people as I can by serving my family, growing the local church, and participating in athletics. And that's how God wired me. But every year I look at that and say, okay, am I where I need to be? Am I doing the things that I need to do with God's call in my life? And so at the end of the player profiles curriculum, we have this thing where we say, okay, look at play a different way. Think of it as an acrostic in a different way, and that the P stands for pursue. That tonight, God may be calling you to pursue some possibilities. Start experimenting. Look up First Serve on our website and say, okay, I want to try some things out. You got to pursue the possibilities. And then there comes that point where you got to launch. You got to lose your inhibitions and launch yourself into some areas. Overcome your fears. Overcome your insecurities and launch yourself. And around here, you have so many opportunities to launch into with no long-term commitments to say, okay, let's try these out. When I was a teenager, our church, I would say, made. It was supposed to be an opportunity, but made us teenage boys have a month every. We would have our time. There were about five or six of us where we had to read the scripture in the Sunday service. It was supposed to be an opportunity for us to put our lives into play, but to me it was just pure misery. When it was my month to come up, I just, oh man. And I'd stand up there and mumble my way through a passage of scripture with somebody's name in it like Melchizedek or Jehoshaphat that I couldn't really say and all that. I went to college. I went to Ohio State for 2 years, and then I surrendered my life to Christ. I went to Bible college and Christian college in Cincinnati so I could learn to teach and coach. That's what I wanted to do. But one day I stood up in front of a class. It was my first semester there in a speech class, and we had to write up a 3-minute speech. And that to me seemed like an eternity. It doesn't seem as long now as it used to. But I remember I did this, put this speech together on Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. And when I did that, something happened. Something in the room happened. And the only way I can explain it is that God said, you know, I realized later that God said, I want you to use your voice and your mind to teach the word of God to people, to recruit people to my kingdom. And this was the same kid who, before he gave his life to Christ, would stutter and stammer and be miserable standing in front of people. I'm telling you, when you launch yourself, you'll be amazed at how God can use you. And it's his deal. It's his deal. And then, you know, you analyze. A stands for analyze, where you analyze your effectiveness. Was I effective at that, honestly? You analyze your feelings. How did I feel doing that? And you let others analyze you who know you, who have participated in that moment. If you think you have the gift of teaching and people fall asleep and they drift and they can't stand it, you have the gift of teaching, but they don't have the gift of listening to you teach. You know, it's hard to get feedback on that, but you need feedback to say, okay, is God using me when I do this? And then Y stands for yes. The most important thing that you can hear throughout this series is say yes. And maybe that ought to be first, because some of us here haven't done that. We're still holding out on God. And there is a world that is waiting. And there is a God who is calling you to make your life count. Now, before I close out this series, I want to take you, walk you through something that when we leave here tonight, there will be no excuses, okay? I mean, this is a serious deal, gang. Because one of the most dangerous places you can go in your life are these brown seats. If you come here with the expectation that you're not going to go anywhere with it, the biblical picture of this in Ezekiel 47 is that you become, instead of a river of life, you become a swamp of death. Where you have things flowing in, but they're not flowing out, that's a swamp. You got to become that river. The Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because stuff flows in, but it doesn't flow out. The Sea of Galilee is alive because stuff flows in and it flows out. And so here is just some practical stuff you can do before we close this up. And I'd like for you to take a listen from Beth Matthews once again. Beth is on our staff. She is our full-time player integrator. Beth and I work together, but she does this full-time with her life all the time, of just one person at a time, integrating them into the kingdom play, into the kingdom game. And so, Beth, lead us through. I'm sitting here tonight, and I'm saying, okay, you know, enough, I'm in. What do I do?
That was not that tough to get there.
Yeah, I know. So tell me, what do I do? What do I do? I'm sitting here tonight. You know, and I may even have my phone on me or my iPad or something where I can do this sitting here before I leave. Show us
okay.
The way.
All right. If you're ready to say yes and you're really ready to put your life into play, you can either go to Southbrook Central, or we've been calling that Play Central during this series. You can stop there and you can check out serving opportunities for serving inside Southbrook, and we'll even give you some suggestions for serving outside Southbrook. Or you can go to our Southbrook website. Our serving page on our Southbrook website is designed to help guide you to what would be the perfect fit for you, just because of the way God has designed you. And we're really excited about the serving page of our website because we think it's a great tool for you to use, so we want to give you a quick demo of how it works. If you're on the homepage of the Southbrook website, what you're going to do is you're going to select the Ministries tab. And it will be selecting it in just a moment. And then you're going to select Serving Opportunities. And this is going to take you to the serving page of our website. When you're on the serving page of our website, you're going to see several search opportunities for looking at different serving opportunities. You can either search by where we need you most, you can search by area of interest, or you can search by spiritual abilities. For our purposes right now, what we're going to do is we're going to search by where we need you, or we're going to search by your area of interest. And let's say your area of interest is kids. You love kids, you want to help them learn more about God. So right here, you're looking at all the serving opportunities for serving kids. This is the way you can put your life into play, serving kids. But over the last several weeks, what you've learned is maybe one of your top abilities is recruiter. So you can refine your search even further, and you go on the top right-hand corner of the screen, and you're going to select the recruiter ability. And then once you select recruiter, what you're going to see are all the ways you can put your life into place serving kids using your recruiter ability. Now, if you want to take that a step further and you say, well, tell me all the ways I can use my recruiter ability, regardless of what my area of interest is, we're going to go back to the serving page. And then once we get back to the serving page, we're going to check out a search that we talked about before, and that search is the spiritual abilities search. And that's down towards the bottom of the page, and we'll select that search. Then we're going to go right back to the top right-hand corner of the page again to that spiritual ability sort, and we're going to select recruiter. And what's going to show up are all the ways you can put in your life into play using that recruiter ability. Now, as we've gone through these several weeks, if you still haven't figured out what your spiritual ability is yet, we have the spiritual ability assessments on the serving page of the website, so you can go back to that serving page and you can download a document that will show you all the spiritual ability assessments that Charlie's been taking us through over the last several weeks. Or, if you'd like to, go a little bit more in depth in your study. We've been doing this player profile study. Well, it's not too late to do the study on your own. You can stop in Southbrook Central and you can pick up the player profile study. Now, over the last several weeks, Charlie's been talking a whole lot about experimenting with your spiritual abilities, and around here we call that a first serve. And a first serve is trying a serving position out just once, just to see if you like it. No obligation, just check it out, and you can try as many first serves as you'd like until you find that one that's just the right fit for you. So those are some of the steps that you can take.
So pretty simple. If you don't have access to the internet, you can do it here, right?
They can
do it
in
Play Central.
Right.
You've done this for 17 years basically now, right?
Right.
You started when you were 8, right?
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Someone cackled awfully loud about that.
Yeah. So why do you do this? You know, you served for a long time where you weren't even on staff, you served, and but I remember in 1995 when you came here, you were in a show me the way mode in life. Take me tonight to the river and wash my illusions away.
Right.
I mean, that's where you were. Why do you do what you do? Tell us your story, because I think your story, Beth, is the core of Southbrook. I'm not saying this just because you're up here in front of the people. When I think of stories that I hope happen 1,000 times over here, it's your story and Mike's story. What happened that you find yourself, like we say this, how did I get here? You know, how did I get here? How did you get here?
You know, you asked me that question just a little while ago, and I didn't know you were going to ask me that question. And what I said then, I'll say now, is I just serve the way I do what I do because I'm really grateful to God. I walked away from Him for so many years in my life, and He waited for me, and I'm so grateful that He did. And I want to give Him back everything that I can to show my gratitude, and I want what I do, I'm hoping that it will bring more people to come to know Him. And that's why I do what I do.
What does serving do for you? What happens? You know, there's a cost to serving. There's a cost to loving the world. And, you know, it's the world. I love the world. Charlie Brown once said, it's people I can't stand. You know, so it's hard serving people. And what does serving do for you?
It makes me feel good. It makes me feel fulfilled. It makes me feel the pleasure of God. It makes my life have a purpose.
Mm-hmm. You're an organizer, right? In the abilities listing, you're a strong organizer.
Mm-hmm.
And look at this quote from Søren Kierkegaard, who, you know, we've used this the whole series. The true vocation for every human being is the will to be oneself, and now with God's help, I shall become myself. Do you feel that way? Like from where you were 17 years ago, do you feel like the real Beth Matthews has emerged?
I do.
Not done yet, right?
I know. I was just going to say, I feel like I'm still emerging.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do, organizer is my top gift. And when I do that, it just fills me. It fills me up with almost like a sense of this is what I'm born to do.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hit it, you know it.
Yeah.
You know this
yeah.
is your place. So.
And, you know, you feel like you're playing.
That's yeah.
You know,
well, yeah,
it feels
because
like you're playing.
It's easy
yeah.
and it's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
And I say that because we all look at our lives and go, how are we here? You know, how did we end up here? And I love Ruth Graham has on her tombstone, Billy Graham's late wife. One time she and Billy were traveling down a road and they were going through construction. When they got to the end of the construction, she there saw a sign, "End of construction, thank you for your patience." And she said, she looked over to Billy and she said, "I want that on my tombstone. End of construction, thank you for your patience." Mm-hmm. And that's, if you see Ruth Graham's tombstone, that's what's on her tombstone. And I would say that, you know, wouldn't we all say that? Like, the construction's not over yet. Don't wait to think that you're going to be a finished product before you put your life into play. That actually part of the playing or the constructing is the serving, isn't it?
Absolutely. If you knew what I thought inside of myself, I mean, I would think, I cannot believe God has me in this position.
Yeah.
You know, you don't feel, I'm sure a lot of people, they don't feel, you think you need to be perfect to be standing up here. You think you need to be perfect to put your life into play, and you don't. Yeah. You don't at all.
We're all under construction.
We're all under construction, exactly.
Would you guys thank Beth for being up here tonight?
Thanks,
Beth.
Thank you.
I'm going to close out this series by reading a story. Lee Strobel was at one time an atheist and a successful atheist. But one day, while he was working at the Chicago Tribune as an editor, legal editor, he went down to the newspaper's library where clippings of articles are filed away for future reference. And the librarian took him over to a huge filing cabinet, and I quote, "We take one copy of every article," she said, "and we file it away under the name of the reporter who wrote it." She pulled out a broad, shallow file drawer, and inside were rows packed with yellow envelopes that were stamped Lee Strobel. "Here you go," she said. "These are all your articles." And he writes, "I had a strange sensation as I looked inside that drawer. Here was the substance of my entire life's work at the Tribune. And suddenly it struck me. This is what I'm killing myself for? I'm trading my life for a drawer full of neatly folded newspaper clippings that are turning brittle and yellowing around the edges?" At that moment, it didn't seem like a fair trade. What are you trading your life for? One more life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last, said the poet. 1983, Stephen Jobs looked across the table as he was in the midst of his fast-growing company, Apple Incorporated. And he asked a question of Pepsi Company CEO John Sculley that lives today in business infamy, history. He looked at him as he was recruiting him to lead his fast-growing company at Apple. He said, "Sculley, do you want to sell sugared water for the rest of your life, or do you want a chance to change the world?" What are you trading your life for? What excuses do you need to put aside? Do you need to simply begin by saying yes? Well, you do. And the scriptures say that the person who said yes to Christ has never regretted it. The Bible says that Abraham served God looking for a city that he never saw in this world, but he saw in the next world. Tonight, may God fill you with a vision of, with His help, you shall become yourself. Under construction, for sure. None of us is a finished product. But I can say now, 31 years later, almost, that I'm glad I said yes. I've gotten it wrong most of the time. To be honest, most of my moments in Ecuador this week were spent going, "Man, I'm not doing enough. I know there's more I can do. I know there's more I can do." I spent a week as pretty miserable, really, with God laying things on my heart and breaking my heart even further. so that His love could find its way in even deeper. And may He do that to you tonight. May He not leave you, let you leave this room in peace if you are willing to just sit in these brown seats week after week. Or to run away from Him and just kind of bury this under a pile of activity in your life. And you get to the end of your life and you say, this is what I traded my life for. As you leave this room tonight, you will leave under four letters, P-L-A-Y. For His sake, may that be what you do. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. And would you stand up with me? Let's stand up in the presence of the Lord tonight together. Because we're going to stand ready. Because we're going to stand in front of You someday, Lord. We're going to stand in before You with what time, talents, and treasures were invested in us. And we're going to stand accountable. What we are is Your gift to us. How we play is our gift back to You. And may we feel that burden that Beth expressed of, I just want to show my gratitude. I want to show my gratitude by loving in the way that God has loved me. And I don't know how You use things like my feeble voice, but I pray that somehow something gets communicated in this room tonight that transcends voice, that transcends the human soul, that goes so deep that we are like Jeremiah who said, there's a fire burning in my soul, and if I don't flesh this out, I will burn up. And that tonight is a renewal of our commitment to put our lives into play for the kingdom that shall never end, that is and is to come. Now, Jesus, we thank You that You have saved us, that we can be born anew in Your Spirit. And we thank You that You did it at a cross, at an intersection of wood, was the intersection of humanity, where You showed us what love does. And we are the recipients. And we thank You that we can end this night and end this series by expressing our love and thanks back to You. Thank You for being patient with us while we're under construction. We look forward to the day when we're finished and ready to go. In Jesus' name we play. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.